The audio that follows is an excerpt from the Pariyatti Dhamma podcast. This recording is from a lecture given by Essien Goenka on the Meditation Now tour in 2002, and it consists of the question and answer section from the end of the talk. We hope you enjoy it.
Are your assistant teachers really competent? Are we safe when we join their courses? There are more than 700 assistant teachers now working around the world. And thousands upon thousands of people are taking advantage in every course throughout the world. And they are getting benefit. So don't have any doubt, they are given proper training as a teacher. First, they have to establish themselves in the technique properly. They have to understand the theoretical aspect of the technique also properly. And then they have to generate love and compassion. They must have a lot of love and compassion for others. And then they must be very selfless service they have to give. And then only a training of teacher is given to them. Be assured, you are in good hands. They will take care of you. If we distract ourselves with meditation, aren't we taking away from the energy we should be devoting to rectifying the rampant social ills on our planet? It is for this purpose only. A Vipassana meditator does not become selfish that I am working only for my liberation, for my happiness. As you progress on the path and the mind becomes purer and purer, naturally the volition starts. More and more people get this wonderful technique. More and more people come out of their defilements. This love and compassion, this is a part of the technique, of the teaching of this technique. And don't worry that you will run away from your responsibilities. You will perform your responsibilities much better than what you were performing without Vipassana. Compared to most other teachers, your courses put too much emphasis on discipline and morality. Is Shila broken, then shouldn't be such a problem. If one Shila is broken out of, then there should not be much problem. It is too fundamentalist attitude. Understand these five precepts. That means you have to abstain from taking any unwholesome action, vocal or physical, which will disturb others. They are part of this technique. They are foundation of this technique. Foundation goes weak, you can't build a house over there. So foundation is necessary, because at least for those 10 days, if you keep on breaking your Shila, even one Shila you have broken, you will find there is a big storm in your mind, which you do not know now. As you practice, you go to the depth and you find what disturbance it creates. Every time you break a Shila, you have to generate a defilement. And every time you generate defilement, there is so much of disturbance in the mind. How can you go to the depth of the mind? It becomes difficult. Therefore, for those 10 days, you have to observe Shila, you have to be in discipline. After 10 days, you are your own master. Nobody forces you, nobody comes to examine you whether you are observing Shila or not. But you will yourself start understanding that every time I break Shila in my life, I am harming myself. I am harming myself before I harm others. And slowly you start coming out of this old habit of breaking Shila. How can I help my 96-year-old grandmother who has never practiced Vipassana? How can she die smilingly? This will be your greatest service to your grandmother. She has not practiced Vipassana. And if you have practiced, persuade her very lovingly. Bring her to the course. 96 years, not a very old age. Still she can work. We have got students who are over 90 and they have come and they have practiced and there are people to help them. So there will be people to help them. Help her, let her come and practice, and she will find how to live peacefully and how to die peacefully. Vipassana meditation is an art of dying. How to die peacefully? Even cases of cancer, so much of pain, and terminal stage of cancer, so much of pain, and yet a cancer patient keeps on observing sensation, observing respiration, and passes away. Now we have got one or two cases at the center at Shelburne Falls. I was so happy to see somebody whom the doctors have said, your maximum life now is not more than a fortnight. Maximum. You may pass away tomorrow, day after tomorrow. such terminal state. And he laughs. And he smiles. He says, let me make use of these days. And he gives service there. He gives service. All the applications that come, he goes through that, gives appointment. What a person. He's suffering. This terminal stage of, and he knows he's going to die. And he smiles, he laughs. This is a good example how Vipassana helps us to learn an art of dying. An art of dying is possible when you learn art of living. So art of living will help you to die also artfully. I know the Buddha's teaching doesn't give importance to miracles, but aren't they useful to attract others? If you attract others by miracles, then they will look for miracles only. They won't practice. The biggest attraction is when they find how a very miserable person has changed so much. How a person who is such a terrible inhuman life living, how he has changed with compassion. That is the biggest attraction. That is the biggest miracle. Of course, miracles do come. As you practice, you go deeper. Miracles come, but don't show these miracles to anybody. Otherwise, Dhamma will get polluted. Keep the Dhamma pure. It is not for showing miracle. It is for showing the result of Dhamma, how people get liberated from their misery. That is more important. As a Westerner, living in today's modern world, is it more beneficial to practice Vipassana as a householder or go to a monastery to live as a monk? Well, if you leave the householder's life and become a monk, you will have all the time just to practice. We give respect to such person who has left the householder's life and practicing full-time Vipassana, nothing like that. But all householders cannot become monks. So Buddha's teaching is for all, monks as well as householders. So remaining a householder, you can still practice, although your progress will be little slow compared to that of a monk, but still you will get the same result. Since I have started meditating, many people have noticed changes in me. Good. Old friends invite us to join them, and there are always intoxicants there. Their ignorance is clear. Is it aversion if my wife wants to go and I don't want to go? Ask your wife also to take a course. If she takes a course, you understand this intoxication is so harmful. You can never go to the depth of the mind when your mind is intoxicated. So much confused, so much unsettled, so much blind. You can't go to that depth. And once one takes that course, one understands it is so harmful. So, biggest help you can give to your wife is persuade her lovingly, don't force her, persuade her to take a 10-day course. Isn't it arrogant to claim that this tradition of Vipassana is the purest teaching of Buddha? No arrogance, because I came to Buddha's teaching with all the doubts in my mind, all the doubts. First, the practical aspect of it, which gave result, which is so logical, pragmatic, scientific, result-oriented. I was not fully satisfied. I wanted to go through the words of Buddha. And after going through all that, I find every action that we take in Vipassana is exactly according to the words of Buddha. If people had not maintained the purity of this technique and also had not maintained the purity of the words of Buddha, there would have been confusion in the world. Fortunately, Sangha has maintained the purity of the technique, purity of the teaching in words, so that we can tally and see how the words tally with the practice and how the practice tallies, 100% tallies with the words of the Buddha. That is why we say it is the purest way of Buddha's teaching. Your following is getting larger and larger. How would you like to be remembered by future generation? Why I should be remembered? People should remember that how after 2,500 years Dhamma again got revived and so many people got benefit. That is more important than remembering me. What they will gain by remembering me? There are so many people who maintained the purity of this technique for 2,500 years in the neighboring country. We don't know their names even, but they maintain. A few names we have. Others, from teacher to pupil, generation to generation, they maintained it. That is more important. Let Dhamma arise again in its purity, and let millions upon millions of people around the world get benefit, and let it survive for centuries together for the good of the country, for the good of the whole world. If you charge for your courses, there will be money to build big centers, and more people will get benefit from Dhamma. Good idea for business. I've been a businessman, always looking for making money, and this is one way to make money. Charge. And more you charge, more those big CEOs will come. This is something because they charge so much. There cannot be a bigger madness than that. What charge? Can you pay the price of Dhamma? It is priceless. It is invaluable. Any price tag given on the Dhamma will spoil the Dhamma, spoil the purity of Dhamma. Buddha was so clear in his words. When we go through the words of Buddha and what we teach, one gets so thrilled. He says, Dhamme na na vanikachare. Don't make Dhamma as a profession. Don't make Dhamma as a livelihood. Otherwise, it is no more Dhamma. It is so clear in its word. And we say we are teaching the teaching of Buddha, and we go totally against his words. We start charging. I will teach you this technique. Just for weekends. Goenka takes 10 days. I can't spare 10 days. All right, come for weekend. Come for one day. Or just come and listen to me and start practicing. This is not the proper way, but give me money. If you want me to give more service, then more money. More service, more money. That has become a business, and it is so harmful. This is how the technique was lost in India and other countries, because it went in the hands of the priests, and their own aim was, whole aim was to make money, make money, make money. The volition of serving people selflessly was gone. So the technique was gone. So now it has arisen in its pure form. Don't allow it to become impure by making a commercial commodity. I have taken your courses. I have benefited a lot. But I wonder why you don't talk more about higher experiences and attainments. You have taken 10-day course, and that is a kindergarten course. So whatever you teach for 10 days, you understand that. Good, that itself is so good for you. But the teaching of Buddha, the Dhamma, is so deep, like an ocean. As you go further, deeper, 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 a time will come when you will take long courses, 20 days, 30 days, 45 days, 60 days, 90 days, and you will go to such depth, and then the theory will be explained. Now you are not experiencing. In 10 days, whatever you experience, that is explained in the evening discourse, is good enough for you. When you are moving further, deeper and deeper, then you will be given further theories, deeper explanation of Buddha, of the Dhamma, but only when you experience it. So far as Buddha's teaching is concerned, theory and practice should go together. As much theory as you practice, and as much you practice, that much theory you must understand. If you just only keep on understanding theory, 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 and you don't practice, you will get confused. You can't get benefit out of it. Good. Why do you have aversion to the word Buddhist? No aversion, but I understand with all my studies and understanding the Buddha's teaching, when I say that I am not teaching Buddhism, I am not making anybody a Buddhist, I am not converting anybody a Buddhist, and a question comes, are you a Buddhist? I say, no, I am not a Buddhist. That creates a lot of uneasiness in the mind of people from the country from where I have come and from other countries also. What this fellow learned from us and now is teaching something which is not Buddhism, he doesn't make Buddhist. Very humbly I tell them, I have gone through the words of Buddha. 15,000 pages of the words of Buddha, which were totally lost from the country of origin. About 30,000-35,000 pages of commentaries and sub-commentaries, totally lost. And now we have got it from the neighboring countries and put it in CD-ROM. About 50,000 pages. and the word Buddhism is missing. The word Buddhist is missing. There is no such word as Buddhism. No such word as Buddhist. In Pali or in Sanskrit or Hindi it is Bodha. The word Bodha is not there. What he teaches he calls Dhamma. He is teaching Dhamma. That is way of life. Which is law of nature. Universal law of nature. And those who follow are called Dhammitto. Dhammi. Dhammachari. Dhamma Vihari. Those who follow Dhamma. The word Buddhism is not there. The word Buddhist is not there. And now I understand why he did not use this word. The moment this word was used as Buddhism, then it will get limited to those people who call themselves Buddhists, not for others. Because I got agitated, this is Buddhism, this is Buddhism. When people know it is Dhamma, Dhamma is for all. Buddhism will be for only Buddhists, like Hinduism for Hindus, Christianity for Christians, Islam for Muslims. So also Buddhism for Buddhists. No, he was not interested in that. He was teaching Dhamma, which is for all, law of nature. If you generate impurity in the mind, you are bound to become miserable. Law of nature is such. And you can't give a name. When you generate anger and you start burning sensation, how can you say this is a Hindu anger or Muslim anger or Christian anger? Anger is anger. And the burning sensation which makes you so miserable, what name can you give? Hindu burning or Muslim burning or Buddhist burning? This is law of nature. And when you are free from impurity and you start experiencing peace and harmony, what name will you give to this peace? Buddhist peace, Hindu peace, Christian peace, Jewish peace? Peace is peace, law of nature. Law of nature is such that as and when you generate a defilement in the mind, the nature will punish you, or you say God Almighty. God Almighty will punish you then and there. You live in line with the law of nature. Don't pollute your mind, don't generate any negativity in the mind. And you start getting reward from the law of nature. You start getting reward from the law of the God Almighty, you say. And you get so much of peace, so much of harmony. This is applicable to everyone. The law is applicable to everyone. So that is why the word Dhamma is the appropriate word. Till 500 years after Buddha, we are making now research. 500 years after Buddha, this word was never used. Not only by those who are followers of Buddha, by the opponents also. They never used the word Buddhism. They never called anybody a Buddhist. We find Ashoka 250 years after Buddha and all his rock addicts, we find the word Dhamma, Dhamma, Dhamma. There is no such word as Buddhism because that word was not existing at that time. It came much later. So if I want to give the teaching of Buddha in the pure form, I want to use the word used by Buddha as Dhamma, and people you follow are followers of Dhamma. Dhamma is so simple and pure. My humble question is, do we need so many rules and guidelines to keep the purity of Dhamma? Dhamma is to live a disciplined life, and if you break your discipline, you start breaking your Shila, then where is Dhamma? You lost Dhamma. If you want to keep Dhamma only in the mind, talking about it and discussing about it and say it's so great, but I don't practice it, then what's the use of Dhamma to you and to others? Dhamma is to be applied in life. And to apply in life, all this discipline is very important. How did your wife start practicing Vipassana? Did she want to? Yes. Otherwise she won't accompany me. She is my partner, life partner. I am not complete without her. I am only half. She is half, better half. That makes us complete, and that is how we teach. A great misunderstanding was created in the country of origin that Buddha's teaching is only for the monks because he didn't live an ideal householder's life, so he never taught anything for the householders. His teaching is only for the monks and nuns. This is conditioning of my mind up to the age of 31. And I found in the teaching of Buddha, it is for everyone. So many sermons are there for the householders, how a householder should live. So it is an example to the people of India and the world that Buddha's teaching is good for the householders, and that is why I carry this huge testimonial that I am a householder. What is the simplest way to show others that they act in ways harmful to themselves and others? Ask them to practice 10 days Vipassana. Then only they will start understanding that they are harming themselves and harming others. Without that, any amount of these lectures, they are good. We talk of Dhamma, give these lectures just to inspire people, just to make them understand at least at the intellectual level that is something very scientific. No dogma is involved, No cult is involved, no blind faith is involved. Just the interaction of mind and matter. In a very scientific way, you examine your mind and matter, how it is working, and you don't remain ignorant and keep on generating impurity in your mind and become miserable. That's all. But if you start just talking, not without practice, there'll be no benefit of it. When you first started walking on the path, could you share any problem you had overcome Mara? Yes, Mara is always there. Wherever Dhamma is there, Mara is there. But Dhamma gives so much strength. Mara cannot harm you. If your Dhamma is not strong, then yes, Mara will overpower you. And what is Mara? Mara is impurity of your mind. This impurity will overpower you and you will forget all about Dhamma. If your Dhamma is strong, practical Dhamma, not merely intellectual Dhamma, practical Dhamma, then you will find these defilements cannot overpower you. What were Buddha's views on homosexualism? Can a homosexual take a Vipassana course? Homosexual or multisexual, what makes the difference? Sexual is sexual. One has to come out of there. They are welcome. All are welcome. This technique helps you. Of course, proper arrangement has to be made for people. Like people of two sex, male and female, are kept separate because deep-rooted impurities come. And one of the deep-rooted impurities is the sex, passion, lust. So the object of passion has to be kept a little far. If we can make arrangement, we make arrangements. If we have given courses to homosexuals, to lesbians, given courses to the stage where some of them become teachers, assistant teachers, nothing wrong. We are not against that. But proper arrangement should be there in the center and then only it can be given. Psychiatrists believe that chemical imbalances create mental health problem. Does your technique affect the chemical unbalance of the mind? This was a great discovery of Buddha. He discovered that whenever you generate any defilement in the mind, any defilement, law of nature is such, immediately the whole chemistry of the body changes. Immediately. And there is a secretion. Secretion of a particular type of chemical which starts flowing with your bloodstream. And it is so unpleasant. You generate anger, a particular chemical starts flowing in the stream of your blood. And he used the word asava for it. Asava means a flow of a particular chemical, which is so unpleasant. You generate more anger. You generate more anger. More of that chemical, more anger. This vicious circle starts for hours together. You keep on suffering. He gave this technique to cut that vicious circle. You generated something wrong and a chemical has started flowing. A secretion of chemical, maybe glandular, maybe non-glandular, it has started flowing. The difficulty is this word asava has two meanings. He gave two meanings of that. One meaning is the flow of the unpleasant chemical with the stream of the blood. Another meaning, intoxicated. Although it is so unpleasant, one gets so intoxicated. An angry person gets so intoxicated to anger, keeps on generating anger. Somebody intoxicated to passion, keeps on generating passion. Or fear, or ego, keeps on harming oneself. And this technique makes you anasavo. You are out of the final stages where there is no more flow of this kind of unpleasant chemicals with the flow of the blood. Is it true you are working on an autobiography? I would very much like to, but where is the time? There is so much demand all everywhere, and I find that is more important. People are in need of this technique. They want to understand what it is. And unless such Dhamma talks are given, people won't understand what it is. I would very much like to write also so many misunderstandings about Buddha. I want to write and clarify that, look, this was not Buddha's teaching. This was imposed by others who were against Buddha's teaching. Just imaginary things imposed. That also I want to write. But let time come. Who knows, I may be able to write that. By trying to develop equanimity, won't my creativity be stifled? Oh no, your creativity will get enhanced. This technique does not make you inactive. Anything that goes away is blind reaction, not the action. You become very active. Every time, whatever action you have to take, any situation has arisen, For a few seconds, with open eyes, you observe the sensations. That is why he gave so much importance to these body sensations. That was the beautiful teaching of Buddha, to give importance to body sensation. You observe body sensation and you find your mind is equanimous, not reacting. Then whatever action you take is a positive action. It can't be negative. When you react, there is always the element of negativity. You harm yourself and you harm others. That blind reaction will go away. There will be positive action in your life and it will be very creative. Your creativity will get enhanced. Could you speak about Brahma, please? You mention him only briefly in your discourses. Brahma, somebody who develops in Dhamma, gets purer and purer. There are four qualities of Brahma. Who is Brahma? Brahma is somebody who has got Brahma Vihara. That means the life of Brahma, high life. That is metta, metta for all. Love for all beings, visible, invisible. Karuna, compassion. Compassion for those who are miserable. Compassion, infinite compassion. Mudita, sympathetic joy. You feel somebody happy. You feel so happy yourself. A sympathetic joy. And equanimity. In every situation, the mind remains equanimate. These are the qualities of Brahma. You can become Brahma yourself, develop these qualities, and Vipassana will help you to develop these qualities. Why do you hold your hand up while sending metta? If you want, I'll keep my hands down, if you're happy. It is just giving vibration to the atmosphere. And the palm is one place from which the vibration shoots out. Therefore, just to give good vibration to the atmosphere, not a cult, not necessary that everyone must have a hand like this. Have metta. That's more important. How do you know if plants are sentient beings? When you develop in Dhamma and Vipassana, you will understand. When you touch a plant, you will find there is life. There is life in it. And you give metta, the vibration, this plant starts growing much better, brighter. They have life, but not the life like other beings, human beings or animals, but still life is there. Is it dangerous, wrong for a beginner in Vipassana to lead others in the technique outside of the course? Oh yes. First get established yourself, be strong enough and get trained. A teacher's training is necessary and that is given only when we find that this person has really grown in Dhamma, this person has got a purer mind, not necessarily 100% purer, but much purer mind. This person has got so much love and compassion. This person is serving selflessly without expecting anything in return. Then yes, teacher's training is given. So reach that stage, have teacher's training. We want more and more teachers. So come as a teacher, but train yourself for that and you will start teaching. By eating meat, we encourage others to kill. Why is this not considered breaking Sila? That is why in the courses only vegetarian food is given. And as you progress, we don't want to put it as a rule for your life, but as you progress, you will find if you are a good Vipassana meditator and you take a non-vegetarian food, it will be biting, the sensation that you will get. Because that being whose meat you have taken, animal, fish, reptile, the whole life, every moment, every particle of this being was generating craving, aversion. You already have so much craving and aversion. Now every fiber of this being was craving and aversion. You are giving that input. You are multiplying your craving and aversion. That will become clearer by experience. So when that experience comes, automatically one becomes a vegetarian.
Well, do you only have time for two more questions?
Two more questions?
Yes.
And after that I am liberated? Good. Why is Reiki practiced in opposition to Vipassana? We are not against Reiki or any kind of healing. Reiki is very good. It is helping so many people to come out of their physical misery, physical illness. Let people practice it. We have got nothing against. But when you mix it with Vipassana, then the problem arises. Because Vipassana is to observe your own vibrations, your natural vibrations. When you are angry, what kind of vibration? When you got passion, what kind of vibration? When ego, what kind? That is more important than to you. So always work with the natural vibration that you experience within the framework of your body. And here somebody gives you some artificial vibration from outside. Then these two kinds of vibration, natural and outside vibration, there's a clash, and not always, but there have been cases where people lose the balance of their mind, and we don't want to harm anybody. We are here to help people. If one amongst 1,000 persons is harmed, then it's our responsibility. We have to be very careful. That's why we say, take one course. Reiki people can take one course and decide what is good for them. And if they find Reiki is very good, carry on. My blessing is there. But if they find Vipassana is good, then carry on Vipassana. But don't mix the two. It will harm the teacher. It will harm the student. Whose Vipassana is better? In Bari they teach Vipassana, but not Goenka Vipassana? I am confused. What are we really talking about? They are all, most of them are my students, and I am pleased that you have started teaching. I have nothing against them. A Dhamma teacher, when he gives Dhamma to anybody, he takes them as one's own children. So always love and compassion for them. But of course, at that time when they started teaching here and when they started opening this center here, I had no time to train people. I had no center of my own in India. So there was no training given how a teacher should get trained. And therefore deeper realities were not taught. So whatever they are teaching, people get benefit out of it. But certainly it is not exactly what the Buddha taught. So those who are getting benefit from it, they may carry on. I am quite happy. But those who want to try the real teaching of Buddha at the deepest level, to take you at the stage where you feel sensations all the time, different kinds of sensations, and train your mind to remain equanimous with the sensation, equanimous with the sensation while you are eating or walking or sleeping, and every situation. You are not only aware of what you are doing, you are also aware of what sensations you have. And you are equanimous with the sensation. That is the teaching of Buddha. Make use of it without condemning anybody. The Dhamma does not allow us, does not teach us to condemn others. Whatever benefit people are getting from this, I am glad, I am happy that my Dhamma children are doing something good, but still they have to go much deeper to understand the reality of the Buddha's teaching and then teach in a proper way so that people go to the depth of the mind and purify the mind at the deepest level, at the root level. May all of you enjoy the real teaching of Buddha and enjoy real peace, real harmony, real happiness.